Hi everyone, this is Shantae with Soul Care University, and we are primarily an online empowerment and healing center that focuses on sharing ancient wisdom for modern times. And so welcome to Soul Time. This is a podcast I started to share the ancient healing wisdom and methods of our ancestors and our elders. And so basically, I love talking with fellow folk healers and wise women healers and hear about their story and what they're doing in the community. So today I have a guest, Sophia Buggs. And Sophia Buggs is an amazing woman I met many moons ago. Our kids went to the same daycare, or our two children, my child and her child, went to the same daycare. And I met her, and it was really, I really fell in love with Sophia, just her appearance and her manner and the conversation. I felt like I'd found a kindred spirit and someone that I could talk to about all this, what I'll call woo-woo stuff back in the day about eating and herbs and just as folk medicine. So I'm really, really excited to catch up with Miss Sophia, Mama Sophia, as we call her. Really excited to catch up with Mama Sophia, as she is in Youngstown, Ohio, and I'm here in Florida. And so it was great to reconnect with her and bring her to the show. So welcome, Mama Sophia.
Thank you for having me, Shantae. Very excited that you thought of me to share in this blessing of a work that you have.
Thank you. It was important. I realize that I've met all these people along the way over the years, and I always said to myself, one of these days I'm going to do something with all these amazing, cool, holistic healers and medicine women and root people, and it has come to fruition that this is how I want to share my community. So Mama Sophia is a farmer, and she has a farm in Youngstown, Ohio called Lady Buggs Farm. It's about an acre and a third, and she is offering her wisdom through growing, through classes about eating healthy and all this really cool stuff that she is going to talk about. So rather than me go through your whole bio, because that's boring, I'm going to let you talk about Ladybug Farms and how you got started.
So Ladybug's Farm primarily got started when I returned back to my hometown, Youngstown, Ohio, in, was that 2012. And the reason I returned is because I was laid off of both of my jobs, and I actually had just lost my grandmother. And so when I get messages, they are with numbers on them, and that was a three. That was a big three for me. And so I just kind of put my big girl panties on and opened myself up to whatever the wisdom and the lesson was, as opposed to thinking, woe is me and they're against me. And it not dawned on me. I kind of already knew that I wasn't happy in those two positions of work, although they were fulfilling something important in my life. They weren't where I wanted to be at the time. And so I could even remember on the highway after dropping off my daughter Passion for school, sometimes in tears, because I felt like it was not my purpose and my calling. I kind of was just going to get along, you know, making ends meet. And I knew eventually that the truth would set me free. I knew eventually the lamenting and the crying and shaking the stick of I'm not satisfied would be returned. And so the universe did that in a very graceful, loving way. And so I definitely adhered to what was being asked for me, which was to go back home. There were a few signs when my grandmother had transitioned that said to me when I was home and we buried her, that I will be back home. I didn't realize it was that soon, but that was the case. So, and within, I was actually, after returning from my grandmother's going home service, I was notified that I had 3 more months left of employment from both jobs.
Wow.
How about that? Both jobs. And so that was to the new year. And, yep, that was to the year, new year. And so those threes just put me in less of a fear mode and more of the optimistic mode. I felt like, you know, the, you know, God, universe, or whatever we call it, would put no more on me that could handle, but I was really, really opening up for something new and exciting. And it was rather challenging for my loved ones in Florida that I was going back to Youngstown, because Youngstown, Ohio is not necessarily noted in the history books as this thriving, flourishing place to live. So me coming back home, you know, made a lot of folk uncomfortable. And I had only remembered Youngstown as a child, which was magic, fun, park, sticks and rock, gardens, family, and gatherings, and so, and my grandmother. My grandmother was the matriarch of the family, and so I was going back home. But coming back home, I felt like I just kind of find my place. Not necessarily be permanent, but a place where I can just kind of be quiet, sit still, and figure out where to move from there.
Yeah.
So returning back home, I understood why everybody was upset. I moved back in a dead boat of winter. Being in Florida for so many years, I didn't realize, you know, all of the issues and challenges in northeastern winter here in Ohio. And I kind of just started unpacking my life again. And so I decided to work on a master's to keep my mind busy, because jumping into another job without careful thought, again, I knew would be the demise of me and my mental capabilities. Because at that point, you know, when you lose your 2 jobs and you have to uproot where you know, and you're kind of just out there on a wing and a prayer, you know, especially here in northeastern Ohio, where there's less sunlight than you're used to seeing every day. Like in Florida, there's like a mild type of a depression, you know, but I was determined to figure out who I was and my purpose. And I kind of just was listening to my body, listening to the messages that my grandmother was sending me here in the house, and just really being a little bit more open to what spiritual practices I kind of already had in place. Really hearing and getting the messages from what was happening. And I just was told over and over, you don't need to reinvent the wheel, kind of do what was already done when you were there. My grandmother always had a garden. And everyone always loved her zucchini bread and, you know, all the delicious baked treats that she would make. So I thought, if anything I can commit to, I absolutely can commit to growing this vegetable zucchini and make this bread, and just, it'll just lift my spirit. But when I discovered you couldn't plant in that time of year, I mean, I had to look it up and learn a little bit more about zucchini. And so I decided that I would actually get a consultation on how to grow food in this area. And it kind of just lifted my spirits. And before you know it, I'm looking at plants online and at Home Depot, looking at indoor plants and how I can cultivate more plants, because all the plants that I brought up actually got damaged, because when we got to the house, we realized the house needed some work. Totally forgot that my plants were on the back of my U-Haul. And how they can't withstand these tough temperatures. So I lost all of the plants that I brought from Florida. So that was challenging as well. So I had a chance to go to Home Depot and figure out what kind of indoor plants that I could afford to get to kind of keep my spirits alive around growing something. Anticipated the spring. The spring showed up, and I discovered after the snow cleared back that people have been dumping garbage in my grandmother's backyard.
Wow.
And that is the story of a lot of homes here, that if there is an elderly person here living or the house is abandoned, there's dumping. So there's blight here. And on top of discovering the trash in the yard, I noticed that, you know, her garden space was gone and the gravel was there. So I'm sure that because of her sickness, she couldn't maintain her yard anymore. So she decided to just kind of gravel it in. Mm-hmm. So I thought, now how am I supposed to garden on gravel? I'm just, now grandma, you done brought me here only to tell me that I'm not supposed to do what I'm supposed to do. And that's when I, you know, learned more about container gardening. So because I'm an overachiever, buckets on Pinterest. I don't even, Pinterest was out then. Pinterest wasn't even out then, I don't think. But buckets online on Google of people growing out of these buckets. And I heard something about living buckets. Then I thought, you know what? I want to grow like a substantial amount of things for myself. So I don't want little buckets. So I decided to go and get some kiddie pools.
Oh.
So I got 13 kiddie pools in my backyard and a couple of cut-off crate boxes that I'm growing in.
Wow.
Lost all sense of worry and all sense of doubt. And I felt the most useful ever in my life, the most alive I've ever felt. I had never been in one space and gotten it all, that feeling. And I just wanted to duplicate it 20-fold if I could.
Yeah.
And I even, you know, stopped asking, why am I single? You know, all of those whys just kind of left. And just kept me busy and hopeful. And so the fast forward, I eventually started working with an organization that was offering a specialty crop apprenticing through Ohio State University. Mm-hmm. And I started being a lead farmer with that education to an organization that had special needs adults with cognitive disabilities. Loved it. Mm-hmm. Loved it. As someone who bows to Obatala and Kiwi, those are my people. You know, that's what I do. Yeah. And communication is my gift. And so the plants allowed me to do that. And I mean, I was really, really passionate about doing this kind of work. And mm-hmm. so in the process of working for other people doing this work, I realized, it dawned on me why it was so daunting for our people, as in Black people, African American people, people of color, indigenous people, had a really tough time even as a sharecropper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a lot of work for you to make $2 from at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah.
And I said to myself, that I'm taking on the next level of what freedom is really supposed to be, what it's supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm.
We should not be held captive or entrapped or enslaved to the land, because that is not the intentions of Mother Earth.
Mm.
And so it was a healing that I believe that it was on me to work through for my own bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
Because I come from growers. I come from from bottom of the hill to up the hill, which is still the bottom of the hill in Youngstown, Ohio, of growers.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother, my great-grandmother, my grandmother, and when we first moved to Florida, my mother worked in greenhouses and helped people mm-hmm. in their gardens to help pay bills. So growing was nothing necessarily that far off for me.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't take interest in it because I guess I didn't need to. But at this point, it turned into more than just a space to help me heal cognitively, to free me from depression, and to free me from the lack that I had within my own being, as assuming that I wasn't capable, that I wasn't physically capable of doing this work, because that's the piece that comes with being a new farmer grower and farmer rancher,
mm-hmm.
is actually having the physical capacity to keep up with this task.
Yeah.
But what I discovered is when you have passion and ownership, and I have both, you can do anything. You can move a mountain. And so that's what I started doing, and just discovered behind the fence of the property line. And at that time, I had discovered that someone put my name on the deed of the house.
Mm.
And so this wasn't just now a space to be in until I figured out the next step. This was the next step.
Yeah.
And so how do you tell your ancestors no with that? I've been looking for a house all my damn life to live in. A place
yes.
to have ownership and sacred space, something that I worked on and sweat and toiled in, and there it was.
Mm.
I was living in it. So I knew that it helping me was a way that I had to honor it and give back. So I had to make sure that I was doing this in a very loving perspective. And I realized that this wasn't about me chasing money, but this was about healing my bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
This was about me coming into my purpose. And this was about me bumping up others to be better human beings by being the change that I was seeking.
Mm. So
that's what Ladybug's Farm is.
Wow. Wow. I love it. I love how you unraveled that story, because what I have found in talking with and my own healing practice, that wise woman tradition, that folk healing tradition, it so goes beyond just the money and the practice.
Mm-hmm.
What weaves it together, what I hear in every story, and is what I love, is the healing of self on our many dimensions, the mm-hmm. healing of our ancestral wounding, our ancestral patterns mm-hmm. that we carry into this life, the healing of that occurs. And just the awakening to passion, like you said, just awakening one's passion. Those three things I hear more often when I talk with healers that are more aligned with that folk wisdom, with that which was passed on. You just described that this has been passed on to you from four generations, and you're carrying on those traditions, thus passing on to your daughter, however she chooses to pick up, because again, it's not about the practice. So, you know, we just keep passing that on. So thank you. Oh, that was really good. So as we kind of move down the aisle, and all that, well, first of all, you grow things now. Do you share them with people? Like how are you sharing the bounty?
Yes, I am at, I was at a market that I actually helped grow, an organization that was also part of helping me with my apprenticing through the process of actually developed the farmer's market. So again, I'm going to just say this, and you'll probably be one of the only people that get it in the real fullness of it.
when I first started growing, there were gardeners, obviously, but there weren't many people growing in the city for profit or was considered an urban farmer.
Mm-hmm.
Very few folk were doing that work. When I got into the work, it kind of just flourished.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of took off. I remember my teacher saying to me I was gonna have a challenge with making a profit to doing my own as opposed to a farmer that was paid to work a farm,
mm-hmm.
because there were no markets. There were maybe one market that was here in the city. And as I decided to farm, the markets were endless. To this day, I still haven't said yes to other markets that are popping up in this city.
Yeah.
So somehow Spirit said, do the work and I got you. So I have many avenues to sell produce. The choices are immeasurable and I'm grateful. But as a medicine farmer, as a healer, I like markets where I'm able to teach and offer products that I absolutely love, as opposed to growing food that I'm stressed out with growing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I'm at farmers markets. I've had the opportunity to sell to some chefs. I also do cooking classes and farm education. And so I use the foods that I grow to talk about local, fresh, and healthy. By growing my own produce, and obviously I feed myself from it as well. And so I also use the herbs and flowers that have volunteers, they're called volunteers and or perennials, that have come to the farm for medicine that I can cultivate into either body care products for myself and clients and my daughter, or an offering that I'm so graciously allowed to grow. Is what I'm able to offer to my ancestors and my spirit guides that I work with.
Right.
And that whole process, I grew into the full understanding of it. Because at first it was just kind of like, okay, I need to do this and I need to pay bills. I need to make sense of it. But then after I realized I'm pretty good at this, there is a market for it. You can relax. Then I was able to do the rest of the revelation came back to me.
Right.
So I do, over the course of the year, sell products and produce from seed to table is what I consider it throughout the year. So I have now dried items. I have some spinach in my hoop house kind of available.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had some really, really cold days, but I still have enough kale that if one or two of my CSA members just really needed kale, I could sell a couple bunches. So
right.
This is at the end of the season, and Northeastern Ohio will allow you to grow all year round when you've got the proper tools.
Okay. So yeah, I was curious about that. So I wanted to kind of keep on going down the aisle a little bit and talk about, because you've already touched on like numbers. We don't hear people talk like that, getting messages through numbers or when you see numbers. And then you mentioned, you know, the medicine that you grow, those that volunteer, you not only use them in products, but you make the offerings to your ancestors and to the spirit guides. And so I want to kind of talk a little bit about your, what I would call root work. And that kind of goes under the Mama Sophia's wisdom. So,
yeah.
And I saw your Facebook page, Mama Sophia's Wisdom. Love it. Love it so much. Because I remember when we used to have these conversations when you lived here.
This
is like so many moons ago.
Yes.
And I remember. Oh my gosh, right? I remember just having these conversations and you were just saying, I don't just want to, I remember this one thing you said, I don't want to just do, she's like, you were like, I can't just do this medicine. I have to be this medicine. I have to look it,
yes.
I have to smell it.
Yes.
I have to, and you know, you moved away. So of course I didn't really see you. And we kind of lost track there for a good little bit. But then when I saw you in your picture, I was like, oh, please stop. She totally was like, I have to look it and I have to be it because I am it. And when I just see you and I feel your energy, I'm like, yes. So tell us about the awakening and opening of your root work as Mama Sophia.
Thank you for asking that. And I'm so excited to share that because I'm excited because, man, for a long time, you know, as a Keeb, you know, the whole fearless piece, I've always, in spite of all of my strength, all of my fullness, I've always been fearful of my own gifts.
Mm.
And the fear was that no one would like it. No one would like me. And I've always also struggled in the area of my own people approving the work that I'm doing. I didn't get along. For most of my life, I've always been different. Always been different. And I've always wanted to connect with my blackness, I guess. You know, I went to a historically black institution, you know, end up going on in a trial of my hair and whether I could graduate or not because I was professional or not. I'm talking stuff like that. Like, I've always been challenged with my own people with this type of medicine. That
yes.
It was naturally within me. It was just natural in me. And there was no teacher. There was no guide. There was not one book that kind of showed me who I was. It was kind of like a compilation of this, that, and the other. But for whatever reason, I've always been true as far as my want. I've always been free in that feeling of knowing what I wanted. And I've always loved nature. Always, always, always loved nature and everything about nature. So, I mean, that I didn't get nowhere else. And I have had many days out on that farm, sweating, crying, pleading, all of that, falling out, because it is hard work.
Yes.
But the pressure and the challenges and the valleys, amazing gifts, they just came out. I didn't have a choice but to show up.
Yeah.
Okay,
we're back. We had a few little difficulties there, but I think we got it straightened out. So we're going to pick up with Mama Sophia talking about her grandma.
Yeah, so me kind of giving myself permission to be called Mama Sophia is primarily just based off of me doing the work as a urban farmer and all the challenges that I went through, and the way that I've been able to heal was kind of very much so land-based, but there's so many things to using the land, the soil and the plants and nature and your environment. And it dawned on me just that, you know, my bloodline did not have the opportunity to call themselves healers.
Mm.
But I personally bear witness to their gifts from my great-grandmother, who, and this was just told to me, that she used to dry herbs in paper bags in her cabinets as opposed to hanging them up. Because I'm very familiar with the home that we also was raised up in. And so there were just some things you didn't do in your house because you might have been looked at as a little witchy,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, and I can remember her making the buttermilk, you know. I can remember her counting the sugar cubes, how many sugar cubes you would have and what numbers meant. I come from a family that they said we ran number houses.
Mm.
So it was always card games. And the house that I grew up in, this house right here, my grandmother had a stack of dream books and Lucky Number 7 books, and I read them. She would stand on the phone and interpret dreams through numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would hear her say certain things when we were in the kitchen making food. Now, a lot of the things were probably very common, but these are considered Southern utterances that was used primarily by root workers
mm-hmm.
for magical purposes, for protection and blessing, you know, prosperity, mm-hmm. abundance, healing, you know. And she didn't say it to me directly, that's what it was, but I knew exactly it was. And that was the magical thing that I absolutely loved about my grandmother, everything yeah. about my grandmother, down to her very favorite color, down to why she named me Sophia. My grandmother mm-hmm. named me Sophia because she loved Sophia Loren. And Sophia Loren at the time was very much so an empowering female figure
mm-hmm.
for women at that time. And she wanted someone who was an entertainer, but yet a political activist. Oh my goodness. Like, and I wasn't her child as if from her womb, but I was her child from her baby womb. And
yes.
she knew me, you know, and she named me this name for a reason. And so it kind of just all kind of sprung forth. And I
yes.
can remember first getting my wings again with you when we were at our daycare. And being called Mama Sophia,
mm-hmm.
you know, from a spiritual traditional perspective. And I felt good, but I just never carried it because I didn't feel that I rightfully owned that.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I owned the bigness that came with it. But after coming here and doing the work, and discovering I got like 5 altars in my house. Hello. You know. Hello. You know, I think somebody need to be honest about this. You know, and I tell my clients often, the very thing that you resist persists.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing you may need to look at. You know, when people would ask when I was reading cards or saying to folk I have altar faith that I love to pray and work some stuff for you on your behalf. Like, it was just something that I did very lovingly. And then finally it just dawned on me, like, you know, that's a type of a boat magic witchcraft. I mean, mm-hmm. I knew it, but I didn't say it.
Right.
And so I have stepped into my fullness. And some people say it is self-initiation. But I feel that I've been given the proper dues via my strongest bloodline ancestor, which is my grandmother,
mm-hmm.
Helen Louise Wickfall, to move forth to do this work. And that's who I am. And at this point, I'm unapologetic about it. There's no hiding place no more.
Yes.
You know, and so this is what it is.
Yes. You know, and I think that is a common journey among many folk healers, amongst many root mm-hmm. workers, is they move through, you know, it's the hero's story. They move mm-hmm. through these different trials, these different initiatory experiences in order to birth themselves into mm-hmm. who they are. And that mm-hmm. just continues to happen over and over and over again as we shed those layers and we level up one more time. And every time we level up one more time, it's because we are going to be that much more in the world, that much more of a clear channel, and it just keeps going. And again, soul time, that's what it's about. This whole podcast is about bringing this type of wisdom to the forefront so more and more people can hear it. So one, they'll be triggered to wake up themselves. And the other is that if they've been hiding, because, you know, we all have that trauma, in my opinion, all of us in this work have that trauma, past life trauma, of being burned, stoned, and killed for this work.
Mm-hmm.
And so this conversation wakes that part of us up, and it gives permission for those who are still hiding out of fear. And so sure. I'm so grateful for you to be for you to use the words root worker, witchy, magic, because those are terms that need to be brought to the forefront for understanding. So one of my questions was, and you kind of already answered it, but I wanted you to expand on it just a little bit, is how or why do you think that this type of work is an integral part of our well-being? If that makes sense. So why is it important that we all tap in to this work for our wellness, our whole wellness?
Sure. Well, one thing for sure is we all have a different role in this cosmic piece. I think it's really important for whatever work it is that you need to do is to be in its fullness and authentically in that, especially if you do not want to return without doing the kind of work that you're supposed to do when you come back. I really do believe that we are like recycled energy of some sort. So if there was some work that needed to have been done for the next go round, you are going to surely wish you had done it. So you would have been equipped and armored with the tools needed for you to carry forth this, the next lifetime or the next cycle. And honestly, it just helps with the clarity and the release that we are looking for. Mm-hmm. I mean, I posted that on my Facebook that, and I learned this from Esther Hicks, that one of the reasons that we are so we are sick and unhealthy is because we are at war with our own food.
Yes, I love that post when you put that up there.
and your well-being is not determined whether or not you eating bacon or not. It's not. It is so much more. I have watched people's pressure and inflammation reduced after just a consultation.
Yes.
The relief and the clarity, the tears that I've had on my shoulders from people saying to me, my shoulder don't hurt anymore. What else do, how can I keep doing this to relieve this pain? So it's deeper than just food.
Yes.
You know? And so that's what I recommend people to jump in there, to jump in there when you can get in there and start doing the work, because it offers relief and clarity. It gives you a different outlook on what pain really is. And a lot of people are just suffering, not from, like I said, the issues around food, but the spiritual connections that they are lacking on this planet or this journey or where you are, you know?
Yes.
And so,
yes, I call that. Oh, sorry. I was going to say, I call that spiritual malnutrition.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But they think that it's related to food that they're eating,
right.
And really it's related
right.
to spiritual food and, you know, the soul nourishment.
Yep. So that's really why it's important. And I will say this too. I am even open to acknowledge that that might not be important on your journey. I'm okay with that. That might not be where you are now, and it might not be of as important. And if it's not, then I'll show up for those who it is important to, because
yeah.
that's the other piece of being a healer. Like, I'll get worn down and wore out if I'm trying to push my agenda on
yes.
other people's needs.
That's right. That's right. So Mama Sophia, have you ever encountered people who were fearful of you and the work that you
Weird.
Bring?
Oh man. yes. And
how do you deal with that or respond to that or not?
Well, I do, because if you can remember in the first an initial talk, that was my biggest fear, is that my own wouldn't accept me. My own would not accept me. Or what happens with us is they allow me to get so far, like Kwanzaa.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a Kwanzaa, or I look ethnic, If it's anything beyond that, then it's like, mm-mm, you're doing some other stuff that I'm uncomfortable with. And I am always in those circumstances as a person who also follows a 13 moon constellational chart. I am Cancer, and my faces allow me to weave and bob into this matrix. And I finally understood that if I'm making you uncomfortable, it's because there is some healing that is happening.
Yes.
And I'm okay with being uncomfortable with that. I used to didn't be uncomfortable because I just always wanted everybody's approval. But right now, the applause that I get is coming from my ancestors and the actual work that's happening. The things that are coming to me expediently, I can't even explain. And I can't, and I know that's not because of what other people are doing. It's because of the work that I'm supposed to be doing. And therefore, it is coming back to me.
Yeah.
And I really, really work on trying to be humble. So that I don't feel arrogant and haughty and big-headed by the workings that's happening, but this is pure intention. This right here is something so beautiful and delicious that I understand why people are scared of it, because it's a part of the dark mystery.
Yes.
That many people are confused about, you know? And so because my gift is communication, I get that people need transitions and gears and tools before they can finally understand and appreciate what this space is. But yes, being a full-size Black woman in all her naturalness, professing to be a root worker, a witch, a hoodoo practitioner, can be very, you know, very scary. But at the same time, very comforting and healing to others, because I've provided clarity and relief where other people, hospitals, pharmacists couldn't offer.
Yes.
So I am also in the seat of appreciative that I'm able to be utilized for people in their well-being without judgment of their religion, their race, their culture, or their class.
So, final question. What would you say to someone who feels called, feels and can hear that drum beating that says, wow, this is my work? What advice, what guidance would you share with them?
The guidance I will share with them for what I consider the most comfortable experience is finding themselves in the details. For me, it's the number 3, it's the number 13, it's my name, it's the color blue, all of, and those are simple things. And a lot of those things are signs and symbols that you have as a child. Those are things that I loved as a child. And they've always been there. They've always been there just when I didn't have nothing else to ask, if I didn't have somebody to ask, and it was just me making a decision, I based it off of that thing right there.
Yes.
And so Sophia is my name, but Sophia is also wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a white dove. So it's a bird also. So all of these things that send me messages have kept me safe and kept me together. So I say, look for yourself and choosing what that looks like and what turns to make. And you'll get closer and closer to who you are. And it's going to get a little uncomfortable, and it should, because sometimes that's the learning curve of it. That's what needs to happen for the shift to be satisfied or the shift to be met with equal amounts of knowing. And when do that, man, your ground just gets right up under you. It just shows up. You're grounded, you're confident, you're clear, you know, and no one can tell you who you are because you know who you are. And although you think sometimes that the workings that you're doing are for others, it is really for you.
Oh, please. Thank you for saying it.
You. It is so for you. So when you show up for yourself, you show up for the others. And
yes.
The more I'm showing up for myself, the more it is revealed. Like, I didn't mention to you that one of the other things that I felt gave me permission is both sides of my family came from the South. You know, that's my bloodline. They came from the South and migrated up North. And so these were things that typically was practiced in people's homes if they possibly were Christian, was still trying to have their own language around spirituality.
Yeah.
Their own extra magical luck or the wisdom that their ancestors left from the original people or the indigenous people that they still had. And so I kind of taken up what that heart is. And I've added to and I've continued to do that. You know, and the more I say this is who I am, the rewards that I get. You know, so
yeah.
I want to say choose you. Always choose you. Always choose yourself, the things you love, the things that you know. And nature will only use those things to speak to you to have better clarity on what direction that you should be taking in this process. And oh, it's so delicious when you get on this ride.
Yes, it is. Oh, thank you so much. This conversation has been just like a pot of bone soup.
Yes.
It has been nourishing and filling. It smells so good. And when you look in that, you know, you put little pieces of celery or some parsley. It's just been fragrant and delicious. And so thank you. So how can we get in connection? How can we get connected with you? How can we stay connected with you? How can we schedule our own consultation with you? Like, give us that lowdown so that we know how to do
that.
So
I am on Facebook, Instagram, and Blogspot. So Blogspot, I'm on Ladybug's Farm. And on Facebook, I'm also Ladybug's Farm. And that is three words, Lady, my last name, Bugs, B is in boy, U-G-G-S, and Farm, singular. And I'm also as Mama Sophia's Wisdom on Facebook. And I'm also on Instagram as Ladybug's Farm and Mama Sophia's Wisdom. And just real quick, the reason I have two separate accounts in that, it's because I've always been challenged with combining both farm products and spiritual products. And Mama Sophia's Wisdom is a way that I can combine it all. And so primarily people who are just interested in produce alone, contact me through Ladybug's Farm. But either way, I still respond. So those are the way. And I'm also on there as my personal page is Sophia L. Bugs. And I'm looking forward to questions, comments, that girls, or even if you're interested in some of the products or workings that I do. I primarily post what I have available, what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a seasonal producer. I like small batching things, and spirit works with me. So now that we're working in this retrograde and this full moon and we're at the darkest time of the year, you know, I'm doing a lot of root chakra pieces that are happening, and I've got some pop-up markets that I'm doing. So some products won't be available throughout the year, but kind of seasonal.
Yes.
So you could watch my Facebook page to see what's up and coming. Mm-hmm.
Love it. Love it. I also
offer oracle readings as well.
Yes.
And I do those also over the phone, and I do them also online where we exchange some pictures and some words and stuff. And I have a PayPal account. So
nice.
Reach out to me. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I will be sure to put all that information in the text for this podcast, so people will not have to keep re-listening or keep rewinding. They can just look on the page And I will have all of Mama Sophia's information and links so that you can find her very easily. Ah, I'm bowing to you and just saying thank you so much for this time and spending, you know, this 45 minutes out of your day to connect with me. Such a healing conversation. So thank you everyone for listening. This is Shantae with Sophia Boggs, and this was our discussion for Soul Time. And I look forward to any comments that you have, any feedback you have from our talk today. And I will see you next time.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.